Blog Talk Radio.
Living alone in this old sinful world, hardly a comfort can afford. Striving alone to face temptation sore, where could I go but to the Lord?
Well, good evening, everyone, and greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we open your word, I'm asking the Holy Spirit to come forward, Father, to give us the guidance that we need and to open our hearts and minds to be receptive to this, your word, Father. To help us to walk not in this world, Father, but in the Word and in your kingdom. Now, Father, be with us throughout this study. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right. We're going to be in Romans chapter 12. Kind of a continuation of the service of this morning. So beginning here in chapter 12 verse 1, says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You know, he's trying to let us know some things there. And this, by the mercies of God, summarizes all that God has accomplished for the believer in as we had in Romans 1 and verse 11, in justifying the believer. enabling the believer to live a righteous life and being faithful to Israel. And that we present refers to a definite act of presentation. And the verb is used of offering a sacrifice that became under the Levitical system. And this shows that the Christian life begins with total commitment and irrevocable presentation of our bodies. The body has been an instrument of sin. Now it is to be presented to God as a channel through which the righteousness of God is manifested. We are to be able to be used as a channel and as an instrument that God can work through to do the things he still has yet to do here on this earth. We know that when the Lord went back to heaven, there was still a lot of things to happen and to go on. And that's why the church was established. Now, but the Lord himself, when he went to the cross, he finished everything that we would need in order to be able to perform and to do whatever we were wanted to do. Think about that. Now, we find out too, there in verse 2, he was talking about being not conformed. We are to stop conforming ourselves because, you see, we are to resist being poured into the mold, value system, and conduct of this world. And this term is used only here and in 1 Peter 1 through 14. In other words, we're not to be conformed to anything outside of the kingdom of Almighty God. We're not to conform to any ways of mankind and the ways of this world. Now, we pick up here with verse 3. He says, "For I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith." You see, the righteousness of God will cause all believers to conduct themselves in humility in the local church. And Paul meets two dangers that the individuals face in the exercise of his spiritual gifts. He might overestimate himself and say, we can't do that. We cannot overestimate ourselves and what we are to the church and to the Lord God. We are to know how we stand actually with both. Now, but we are to try to exercise a gift of God with knowing that it is our gift, because we're not to use a gift or try to use a gift that God never gave to us. You see, because when we do that, we might even underestimate ourselves and fail to exercise the gift that God has really given to us. And Paul is letting us know that God has given each believer specific gifts to enable him to do what God wants him to do. No one is excluded. We all will carry a gift of the Spirit. Now, they are 9 gifts of the Spirit, and they are some that actually has the use of most of them, but most of the believers will only be given 1 or 2 of the gifts. Now, we are not to be the judge of who's got what. Within ourselves, we are to know what God is giving to us and what he is going to be doing through us. And we all. Now, we pray for all these gifts and for those that are carrying them, even though we may not. We pray for that gift of healing, although we may not carry that gift. But we pray for the one that is carrying it. You see, because we are to love one another, and we are to be there for each other and giving them the help that we can give them. And the greatest help that we can give each other is prayer. Sincere prayer. And, you know, when we do that, we can all stand in righteousness of Almighty God. This is the things that we can do. Now, 4. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. You see, we don't all, and not all of us are chosen to the same line of work, especially in the church. We have pastors, we have deacons, we have teachers, and each one has their gift that God gives them so they can function according to the calling they are walking in. Now, 5. So we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Now, 6. Having then gifts differing. So he's letting us know just what I've just got through saying. He's letting us know here in verse 6. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Our ministry, let us wait on our ministry, or he that teacheth on teaching. You see, I was just going over those gifts with you a few moments ago. Now, are he that exhorteth on exhortation, and he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, and he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. He tells us exactly how we are supposed to be working and using and walking with him. Now, 9. Let love be without dissimulation, and abhor that which is evil. That word abhor means that we dislike it. In other words, we hate that evil. Now, cleave to that which is good. You know, this simulation, that dissimulation, that word means without hypocrisy. And the Christian conduct in the local church toward fellow believers is to be a vocational caring for others, loving faithfully in spite of the response received. The love is to be genuine and unfringed. Think about those things. Now, here in 10, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love in honor, preferring one another. 11, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instantly in prayer. Now, you know, as you go through all of those things, you'll find that a lot of us are missing a lot of these things in our lives because we will not spend the time in doing those things that we need to be doing. Think about this. Now, 14. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. And always speak well of them. You see, now, here in 15, it tells us to rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Because you see, we have to have a heart that is filled with the love of Almighty God, and we are to carry our life as He would toward others. We know that He loves all. Now, 16. Be of the same mind, one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to them, to men of low esteem. Be not wise in your own conceit. Always know how you stand, being wise and not be conceited, thinking that you are above anyone or anything else, but knowing that you are a child of God and how you are standing there. Now, 17, recompense to no man evil for evil. We're not to hold grudges, and we're not to go out here and somebody do something to us we don't like or that hurts us, and we want to turn around and do the same to them, or maybe even think of something that would be a little worse to get even. No. We are to walk in forgiveness. And you know, we are told in another place in the Bible that if we get smacked on one cheek, turn and give him the other cheek also. These are things we need to really know and to understand. Now, Seventeen, that's where he tells us to recompense to no man evil for evil. He goes on to tell us the bad things honest in the sight of all men. We are to walk honestly in accordance with God's word at all times before everyone, not just certain ones, but everyone. Now, 19. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. He's letting us know. You see, we're not to be vengeful. I'm holding these grudges and things, as I said just a minute ago, because he, vengeance is his, not ours. We are to be forgiven and to forgive. Now, and everything else belongs to him. And he tells us even, he says, I will repay. He will take care. 20. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him to drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Because you see, you are doing the work of God. You are showing compassion. And God will take care of the rest. And we are not only to feed him if he's hungry and give him drink if he's thirsty, but we are to forgive him and to be praying for him that he finds the right way to the Lord Jesus Christ and learns to repent and put his faith and his trust in Jesus so that he can become a child of the living God also. Now, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. That can be hard to do, especially among mankind today, because there are so much evil out there in the world that's going on that should not be. And we know that our own has done it and brought it. Even our own government has brought it upon us. We've come to the end of chapter 12. We're going to get into chapter 13 here. Chapter 13 is not too many verses. Verse 1. Let every soul be subject unto the higher power, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. It does not matter what your gift is, if that gift has got something to do with power, that power is the power of God. It is not yours. It is something that God is using through you. So we don't have anything to brag about on ourselves or our being proud and bragful is all for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, 2. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. Uh-oh. You see, when we want to resist the ordinances of God and continue resisting His word and doing just the opposite of what we are supposed to be doing, we are heaping damnation upon ourselves. For rulers are not a terror to good work, but to the evil. Will thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. The minister of God is to be for the good, and the purpose of human government is to uphold the good and punish the evil. Right and wrong is determined by the state, and the Christian citizen is to fear and obey the government as long as the government does not demand citizens to violate God's word. And we've just been going through that for the past 2 years. And we have found a lot of the pastors that has done exactly that. You see, we are to obey the government until they come along to violate God's word. Governmental officials hold office by virtue of God's appointment and are primarily the servants of God in their office. And the political leader is to actively uphold the good. You see, but we have allowed not all of our offices to be filled with those that belong to God. We have allowed too many in that was going in evil. And they have brought evil upon our land and upon our people. Now, you know the sword is a symbol representing the authority given to the government to protect its citizens by punishing those who do what it has determined is wrong. It is important for Christians to be actively involved in government so that the government's values are consistent with the Word of God. And how many of you were like me? Coming through my teen years, in my early 20s, I heard church after church after church teaching that we shouldn't get involved in government. But you see where it's brought us. It's brought us now to where we are under a handful sitting in our government that is so evil that they have brought things that are an abomination unto God and brought it to us to accept as being just an alternate lifestyle. Nothing wrong with that. And even it has been allowed in to some of our churches. Think about these things. Now, wherefore you must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. Not only for anger, but also for conscience sake. Now, 6, for this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, depending continually upon this very thing. You see, it's not against God for their ministers to receive pay for doing the job. Because if they are kept busy to where they cannot hold a job, then the church should be taking care of them and their families. Now, they are, some of us, that don't take anything from the church, because God has kept us to where we have been able to have him take care of it outside of the church. And you know, I'm one of them. I take no pay. I never have. Take any pay for teaching the Word of God. He has always seen that I had work and I was able to do it and take care of myself and my family. Now, seven. Render therefore to all their due. Tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, and fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another has fulfilled the law. He's talking about owing no man anything. Paul is not setting down the policy of paying only cash for everything, but is talking about the Christian's social responsibility of not acting in such a way toward his fellow man that he incurs any debt other than to love him. This debt is never paid up. In doing this, the believer will actually perform the righteousness to which the law can only point. You see, we are not to get so far in debt that we owe man things to where he can cause us to do things that we should not be doing. That's what he's talking about. Now, but for most believers, if you are walking with God, doing what he tells you to do, and you are available when he calls upon you, you won't be one of those that are in debt like that, because he will take care of you. Now, nine, for this thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. 10. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore love the law. Now, 11. And that knowing the time is now, it is high time to wake out of sleep, for now to our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the work of darkness. Get rid of that evil. And let us put on the armor of light. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ put on righteousness. Now, let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envy. He's telling us exactly how to walk. Pay attention and walk as he tells us to walk. 14. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. You see, let God take care of you. Walk with him to the point that he is caring for you and will continue to carry you as needed to be. And we have come to the end of chapter 13 now. Now keep you in mind. Now keep you in prayer. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we close your word, we thank you for this word. Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. Father, we're thankful for the times that we come together to share this word with each other. Because, Father, we do, we love each other. I love everyone. Father, I may not love sin, they do, but I love that person. And I want to see them all to make heaven their home. Now I pray for Israel. I pray, Father, for them to have peace. But even more than that, I pray for them to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah, so that Israel one day will be known as a land for Jesus. And this land of ours, Father, that has turned its back and walked so far away from where it was founded. The evil in our government was taken. It all for the foundation in which it was founded. And Father, we're praying for all of the evil that is in the offices to be removed and replaced, Father, with those that are your children, that love you, that love the Lord Jesus, loves the church, your people, and love this country, and will work with us to put this land back upon repentance and upon the foundation in which it was founded, and that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, I pray for each and every one that is part of this ministry, that has joined in for this Bible study, and that has heard it, Father. May they walk in health, walk in safety, Father. May the Holy Spirit keep them there. Now, Father, as we separate now for the night, keep us in peace, Father, your peace. We know that you love us, Father, and bring us all back together again in the morning at 10 o'clock a.m. Now, Father, this is my prayer this evening. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, everyone. Have a good evening. Walk with God, he'll walk with you. Good night.